Hello and welcome to Happy Horror Time Podcast. I'm Tim Murdoch.
And I'm Matt Emmert, and we are here with the actor who starred in a bunch of my favorite movies and yours, from the wonderfully wacky Killer Clowns from Outer Space to so many other 80s cult classics like Weird Science, Night of the Creeps, and Return of the Living Dead Part 2. We are so excited to welcome to the podcast Suzanne Snyder.
Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you for being here. How are you today? How are you doing?
I'm doing really good. I made dinner tonight, though, and I put these jalapeno peppers in cauliflower rice, and one of them was really hot. So if I cough every once in a while, my nose and my lips are still burning from cutting them.
So, wow. You are a brave person. I cannot do jalapenos and peppers. I am just so bad with spicy stuff.
Oh, I don't even touch spicy foods at all.
Well, normally it's not spicy. We just got a really bad one.
Oh.
So sorry. Okay.
Oh, that's okay. So I read you originally wanted to study pre-med, but then you found your way into modeling. And I just wanted you to tell me about how that happened.
Yeah, and how it led to your career in acting.
Yeah.
So, I was going to Northwestern University, and a friend of mine who actually became a really famous singer and songwriter, Richard Marks.
Oh my God! Of course.
Richard and I went through middle school and high school together.
Wow!
And
that's so cool.
Very talented man, and he took pictures of me, and that was how I started modeling. Actually, it was for an art project, and then I started modeling, and then I was going to Northwestern, and I was kind of working and going to school, and one thing led to another, and then an agent in Chicago who actually had an incredible cast. I mean, when I look at her first like talent sheet, John Malkovich was on it, Glenn Headley was on it, Lolita Davidovich, John Cusack, Jeremy Piven. I mean, we're all with this one agent. She was really good, Joan Ellis. And I got a job in Class while I was going to Northwestern, really small part in this movie Class with Jacqueline Bisset and Andrew McCarthy.
Yes.
And,
I saw it.
Yeah. And Ron that was like one of his first big movie jobs. And John Cusack and I were boyfriend and girlfriend. And we had like a few lines with Lolita Davidovich. And it just kind of started rolling. And so it just seemed to flow that way, as opposed to, much to my mother's unhappiness. Acting as opposed to, you know, going into pre-med.
That is so cool. And, you know, obviously you have an extensive resume in TV and movies, but as a horror podcast, you know, we wanted to focus on a few of the more horror sci-fi related films that you've been in. But before we even dive into that, growing up, were you a fan of horror or sci-fi at all? And were there any movies that like had an effect on you or stuck with you?
I'm a really big chicken. So no, I don't watch horror films. Dark Shadows was this really creepy, you know, show about vampires, scared me to death. So I don't watch horror films.
No, I mean, it's so interesting because we've talked with a lot of people and so many horror actors don't watch horror or don't like horror, but they're so good in these films. So I guess you just assume, oh, they must love horror, but you would never think that they may not actually watch or they may get scared.
Right. Well, when I think about the horror movies I've been in, other than this movie Retribution, which has finally taken life, I'm not really in really, I think, scary horror films. They're more campy and kind of.
Oh, yeah. Fun. And yeah, those are definitely people that can't watch the truly scary ones can watch it. But speaking of just going right into one of the first big, I guess it would be like sci-fi comedy-ish ones. But in 1985, you starred in a film I think everyone who grew up or experienced the 80s in some way is familiar with, Weird Science.
And how did you hear about the audition and what was the audition process like for Deb?
Oh, well, so originally I'd gone out to audition for Breakfast Club.
Oh, okay. John Hughes. Now I get the connection.
And, you know, he basically told me, he said, you know, we pretty much have our cast. I mean, I'm pretty sure that these people are going to do the part, but I'm writing a script. And when it's done, I'd really like you to come and audition for it.
Wow.
And that was Weird Science.
That is so cool, because the next thing we wanted to ask you about
What was it like working with John Hughes? Because I personally grew up with so much John Hughes. I mean, Some Kind of Wonderful's the best, Weird Science. I love them all.
And that was like right in his heyday of all of the films that he did. So what is he like on set to work with as a director?
Oh, he's kind of like a big teddy bear. He was like kind of like a dad, but or an older brother, right? And he was very open to how you saw your character and if you wanted to change your lines a little bit. I mean, you know, there was a structure, right? But he was really open and interested to hear and collaborate with the actors. And so that was super fun. And, you know, he's from basically like my hometown. I'm from just outside of Chicago. So Northfield and, you know, all these different places where he shot, like the mall where we shot, you know, the soda, the slushy scene. That was where I hung out when I was that age.
Oh my God.
That was my mall.
What a cool full circle moment.
Yeah. And the rocket ship, the house that it goes through was a boy that I went to high school. It ended up being their house.
Oh my gosh.
That is, wow. That is so cool, because I didn't know what mall that was filmed at, but that is so cool that you had grown up with that. Well, wait a second. So how about the clothes and like, because your hairstyle and clothes in that movie, especially the party scene, are amazing. Like so 80s. Was that your choice?
No. So that, you know, Marilyn Vance is a really talented costumer, and she really designed our outfits and everything like that. And then the hairstylist's name was Dagmar, and she did all that. That was quite a,
I loved it.
Oh my God, it was great. And so there's a ton of stars in this movie, you know, obviously that from Brat Pack, Anthony Michael Hall to Robert Downey Jr. and Robert Ressler. But there were also some horror alumni that you were with in there. Robert Ressler from Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2 and Judy Aronson.
Oh, and just out of curiosity, do you know which Friday the 13th Jody was in?
Judy.
Oh, I said Jody. I meant Judy.
Being a big fan of horror like you are.
Right. So I know that she gets killed in the lake.
Yes.
Yes.
And I know she suffered from hypothermia.
Right.
Yes.
Ed White rescued her and had her come, you know, get warmed up. I don't know which one though.
I was going to say, so if you had to, I'll give you a hint. It's between 3 and 5. Yeah, no, it's so funny because I guess she filmed that right before, because it was 1984 and right before Weird Science, because Weird Science is 1985. But we just thought it's such an incredible cast. We wanted to ask, like, what was it like working with all of those people? Any fun stories from the set working with everyone?
Oh, gosh. Well, the thing that was really cool about shooting Weird Science, we had 2 weeks of rehearsal.
Wow. Is that a lot usually?
Yeah, I mean, normally, you know, sometimes you don't even meet your co-stars till you're doing a scene with them.
Wow. Yeah.
So that was really special. And we were on Universal Studios and we went into like these cottages and we'd rehearse and really get to know each other. I was originally cast, because I'm blonde and Judy's brunette, right? I was originally cast to be with Alon, and she was cast to be with Michael. And then some different things happened. And I ended up having my wisdom teeth pulled, and Michael grew taller and Judy was shorter. And, you know, they had to switch us around because of that.
Oh, wow. That's so interesting. I'm trying to imagine you switched at the end with different people. And it seems so, you know, like the whole movie would be different.
Are you still in touch with any of them today?
I am. I actually, I just did a convention in Bastrop, Texas. Mm-hmm. And the man who runs these conventions asked if we'd like to do a Weird Science reunion. And so, you know, I'm in touch with Ilan and Robert Ressler and Judy. And Michael Berryman and I were keeping in touch for a while. And Michael and I have been texting back and forth. And I just started texting with Vernon Wells.
Oh, okay. That's so cool.
Yeah, so I am in touch with all of them. And Robert, of course, Robert and Judy and I are a little, you know, a bit closer. Michael and I text every once in a while, yeah.
And when you say Michael, you mean Anthony Michael Hall, right?
Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah. Oh, no, no. Does he go by Michael more often? I mean,
I've always called him Michael, but yeah. Bill Paxton and I were dear friends after we shot the movie for quite a while. I knew his dad and everything. Yeah.
Wow. And, you know, I also, one thing about this movie, and I really believe this, I truly think that you have the best line of the movie. And it's right when Anthony Michael Hall is kind of at the end telling you that this isn't his car or his suit or his friends. And you just say, whatever you are, I like it. And I think it's just such a beautiful moment. I feel like it's kind of like the message for the whole film. You know, you don't have to try so hard to be liked. You just have to find people who like who you are. Do you kind of feel like that's the overall message of the movie, you know?
Gosh, I've never heard anyone say it like that. Yeah, that is right. I mean, that's the line I sign a lot when people want, you know, a picture or something like that. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Whatever you are, I like it, would be the whole theme of the movie.
And I love that. It really is. I mean, for kind of like a kooky movie, you know, that has a lot of like teenage coming of age, like that kind of stuff. It really fact, I feel like it's just such a beautiful line, and it's really cool that your character got to say it, you know?
And before we jump into Killer Clowns, I just wanted to ask you, this is just for my own personal, I just want to know, other than Weird Science, what's your favorite John Hughes film?
So, you know, I think I'm going to say 16 Candles.
Good choice.
And I know that sounds silly, but I have a stepdaughter, and that was her favorite movie. And when she was in high school, her boyfriend did that for her. He got on top of the car in front of our house. And so it's just a really, like, you know, you watch the movie and then I saw it as a mom. So it was, and maybe that's why I have a more fond memory, but I think I just really loved that movie. Mm-hmm. It was a really funny movie.
Yeah.
It is. No, it's a great, that may be my favorite too. It's that or Breakfast Club, I have to say. I already know which yours is, Tim.
It's Some Kind of Wonderful, but yeah. I mean.
I love Some Kind of Wonderful too. Okay, don't get me wrong. And Breakfast Club. I mean, that's the whole thing. That's what he was so great at. He was great at just really getting into what it was like to be a teenager. Mm-hmm. And when you're a teenager, you identify with it. And when you're an adult, you feel that pain and that joy that you felt when you were that age.
I love it. Just the fact that fans have you sign the line, whatever you are, I like it. That's so cool that you signed that. You know, jumping into 1988, that was a big year for you because you were in both Killer Clowns from Outer Space and Return of the Living Dead Part 2. And so right now, well, first I want to focus on Killer Clowns because it's one of my favorite movies of all time. It's just so crazy, and it has like horror and comedy and humongous clowns and the circus and everything. But I have to know, what was your first impression when you read the script? Were you like, what the hell is this? Or were you like, oh my God, this is awesome?
Well, it's a little bit of both, right? It was just like, what? And you know, my agent, she said, you have to read the script because these guys, these brothers, are some of the most talented people in Hollywood. And they're going to be huge, huge. And she said, if you could do this film, she said, I just love this. It's one of the most creative, one of the most unique scripts I've read.
What was your audition process like?
Yeah, what did you have to do?
What happened is we had to go in and we just kept being paired up with different people, right? And then, so I was coming off of Return of the Living Dead and I dyed my hair red for that. Right. So my hair was straight and red and really very bright because Brenda was like that. And, you know, Grant had more is more of a blonde, really. And then John was blonde. So there were three blondes. So I said I'd have my hair. They didn't want me to look like Return of the Living Dead. So I said I'd make my hair curly. And then Grant was a little bit more dark. And then John was blonde. But they just kept pairing us up and pairing us up and pairing us up. And it was really interesting because I do shows with the Quiero brothers. And they said they wanted to flip it, right? So Debbie was like the guy in a way. And Grant was supposed to be more like the ditzy, silly female, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so they really wanted Debbie to be strong and, you know, not like a lot of your leading ladies, you know, come on, let's go look at the circus. You know, well, that does it, right? But it's the guy that does it this time. And so it was fun hearing them talk about what they wanted from.
And I have to say the what is just astounding about this movie, other than the performances and the writing and all that, the set design and the props, just that overall, like the art direction, it's just amazing. It's like everything is this incredible fun house. And I was wondering, where did they film all the scenes when you're in the spaceship? Were those on sound stages or where did they film those?
So those were on a soundstage. We shot in Santa Cruz. Santa Cruz Pier was shut down then, so we were able to do some of the filming outside, right? But most of it was just when I say a soundstage, right, it wasn't really a soundstage because we were in Santa Cruz. So it was just like a giant warehouse. And these three guys, the Quiero brothers and who they hired, they're just brilliant and kind of just keep on building on each other. So they just gets bigger and more fabulous and more, you know, crazy and weird and cool.
And just for our listeners, in case they don't know, the Quiero brothers are the writers there's three of them, and they wrote, directed, and produced the film. And I also read that they created all the clown costumes themselves. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Oh my God, that's unbelievable. Like I also read that Charles Quiero himself wore the costume for the huge like Clownzilla at the end. Did you ever get a chance to put any of the clown costumes on?
No, I never got to. I mean, yeah, okay, you could put the head on or you could put the gloves on, but no, I never got to wear the whole costume.
They look immense, but I didn't know like height wise how much larger than a human being they are. Like they look immense. But one of the biggest things I wanted to ask you about with Killer Clowns is your big scene in the bathroom when you're taking on all the clown headed snakes. And I just was wondering, how was that filmed and what were those things made of?
Right. You know, so that was supposed to be like the Psycho scene, right? But a spoof on Psycho, the shower scene. And they were like puppets and they had different strings and things like that. And I mean, these guys are just so talented. That was one of the things that was really cool. Shooting the movie was cool with who I was with, but watching them set up and having them explain to me what they were going to do and how everything worked, that was fascinating and really cool too.
I just like the passion that must have went into this film, you know. And then another crazy scene that you are in specifically is when you get put inside that huge yellow clown ball and held captive in that. So what was that? Like, what were you in and how did they do that part?
Well, you know, they're really great at special effects, right? So it was really just like half of like a plexiglass dome. And I was on the inside of one sliced in half, of a ball sliced in half.
Oh my God.
That's cool.
Yeah, that is so cool. Like there's so many cool, crazy things that you would never expect from a movie that are in that movie, which is why I feel like it's so genius.
Yeah, I remember when I came across it when I was like 10 years old and I thought, this is so visually stunning. Like it's such eye candy.
Right. I love the dog, the balloon dog.
Yes.
And how creative. And you know, they've written sequels. They just Universal kind of bought all of these movies together, and Killer Clowns was in this lot of movies. And so they just haven't been able to get back the rights, but they have a really cool 3D. They were gonna do a threequel on each one of us. and one, and it was going to be 3D, and there's some really, it's some really cool ideas.
Well, that's actually one of the later questions I wanted to ask about, because I've read so many, no, I mean, this is great. I've read so many different things about, like, there was going to be either a sequel or a new series. And then I think Grant Kramer said about the thing where they wanted to bring each one of you back in one movie. So it, well, first off, I hope, and I take it, it sounds like you'd be up for reprising the character, I take it.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'd love to work with all those guys again. They're like family. I mean, we travel together all the time. I'm going to Chicago with Herod and Mike Martinez and Grant this weekend for the Chicago Flashback weekend.
Oh, fun.
So cool. And so it's just like a rights kind of thing, which is the holdup, I guess?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know how they have those Halloween Horror Nights at Universal? Killer Clowns was it not last year, but the year before last, right before all everything happened. And it, I think it had a longer line than any other, go figure, right?
Yeah.
Any other movie that they were doing the haunted house for.
Of course. I mean, like, they're like, first off, not only is it a great movie, but like the clowns are pretty terrifying looking. Like, I mean, I know it's kind of kooky and fun, but they are pretty scary looking. So I could see those clowns specifically in a haunted house.
Kill people.
Yeah, there's the whole thing about killing people, too, of course.
You know.
Oh, I knew who was inside of them, so I guess it wasn't
That's
scary.
True.
Of course. You know, there is one thing. It's funny that you mentioned that, the dynamic of, like, the your part being more of, like, the quote-unquote, you know, male character versus female. But one thing I really did like about this movie is that so there, the dynamic between your current boyfriend, Mike, and the ex-boyfriend, Dave, the cop. What I love is that the Chiodo brothers, they didn't do the typical, oh, we're just going to keep fighting over the girl. Like, it starts where they have, there's a little tension, but then they actually become like friends and work together and end up really caring about each other. Like, is that something you noticed, that they really, like, tried to not do the normal, like, toxic masculine role and make them actually, like, nice friends?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it could have gone that way, right? John Allen Nelson could have started to play it that way. But he kind of took it right to that line, right? Mm-hmm. And then, like, the humanity of all of the characters trying to save the world came together, so it worked, right? And they became friends, yeah. They worked together.
But I do have to ask you, as Suzanne Snyder, who would you pick if you had to choose between Mike and Dave?
As who they are as my friends, or who they are in the character?
Who they are in the characters.
Yeah.
I would have picked Mike.
Yes, I could. I would not. Those blue eyes are unbelievable. Yeah.
Was there a cast and crew screening? And what was your experience like seeing the Killer Clowns for the first time on the big screen?
There was a party in Santa Cruz when it ended, because there were a lot of local hires. There wasn't much of a big, you know, Killer Clowns premiere kind of a deal, but I think it's crazy to see those kind of colors, right? And have them be scary, right? Because those are happy colors.
Right.
So that's what's kind of confusing in a way, right? Or like the shadow figures, those are things, you know, you did as a kid, or your parents did as a kid for you, right? Or the balloon animals, and to have things that are kind of like special memories or things that are fun that you want to do or you want to have be scary or eat you or kill you. So it's like this weird kind of oxymoron, right? I think that's what made it kind of more cool in a way.
It is really interesting, because even the whole idea of clowns, which started as something that was supposed to be just, you know, fun for kids, has now become such a terrifying aspect of so many horror movies.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's true. So moving on to your other 1988 horror hit, Return of the Living Dead Part 2, we actually were lucky enough to have, we had Tom Matthews on the podcast, and he, who plays your boyfriend in the film, and he was telling us how you guys were friends before that, and that you actually auditioned with him, and that the casting director like loved your chemistry. So was Tom the one who had first told you about the role of Brenda, or how did all that come about?
So Tom and I were with the same agent. So our agent really set us up. But I did know Tom beforehand for quite a few years, and Jimmy beforehand. So we were good friends beforehand and just became even, you know, better friends. I mean, I have to tell you, that movie, I would come home and my face would just hurt, because I laughed so hard when I was with Tommy and Jimmy. Oh my God, they're so funny together, the three of us. It was just too much.
And it was at nighttime. I was going to ask, like, how, because it's all at nighttime, like, what was the shooting schedule like? Were you just like slept during the day and then filmed at night?
Yes. Yes. And we filmed in Valencia. And now, you know, that housing project or the neighborhood is, you know, their trees are tall and people are there, but we filmed when it was just, you know, newly done. And I don't even know if there were any people living there yet. So I drive by that on my way down from Northern California to LA, and I look over at that place and I just think, gosh,
you were there in the beginning.
In the very beginning.
And you earlier said you had dyed your hair for the role, correct?
Bright red. I just wanted to do something really different because I'm a blonde. I'm a natural blonde. Yeah.
No, it's so cool. And I didn't know if that was dyed hair or a wig. And I'm just like, I think it's so cool when actors and actresses just go all in and just like cut their hair or dye it for the part. But that must have been kind of
it
fun.
Just real. That, it looked real because it was real.
I just knew you were a blonde. So I wasn't sure. I was like, is she wearing a wig or did she dye it? Because I knew you were in Killer Clowns so close to it. But that's really cool. So how long did you have that red hair just for the, like, did you dye it back right after the shoot? Or wait, no, you said you auditioned for Killer Clowns or were going to it first, right?
So I did Return of Living Dead, and then I did a pilot with Buddy Ebsen, and my hair was red there, and then I did Killer Clowns.
Wow. And you mentioned how you were laughing like all the time on the shoot, but another thing that I was wondering about is how tiring it was, because you're also screaming and running throughout like the majority of this movie, especially in that car scene. Like, I was just thinking, to be screaming that much, were your lungs just like, or were you losing your voice on a daily basis?
You know, no, I wasn't, but it was, I mean, it is, it's a lot of work to get amped up into that kind of, that energy, right? So you're definitely tired at the end of the day.
Yeah, I just can't even imagine. And there's also a part in the movie where you punch through one of the zombie faces, and there's all this green stink, like stringy stuff and yellow goop. What was that actually? Just out of curiosity.
Gosh, you know, it might have been goo. You remember that goo stuff that you get in those trash cans? It's like that green goopy, gooey stuff. And, you know, you had to do it just right. And then I had to grab onto the jaw, and of course it had to come off. Right. So it was a little bit, it wasn't as easy as it looked to make it look right for the camera. Right.
So definitely not a one take scene.
No, we did a few, but it was, that was icky.
It sure looks icky. It really does. And then, so another thing that we wanted to talk to you about. So toward the end, you know, Tom Matthews has become a zombie, and then he starts to eat your brains. And then just as he starts to eat them, you know, it cuts to another scene and you're never seen from again. And I'm just wondering, were you satisfied with that ending for your character, or would you have wanted a chance to play zombie Brenda?
You know, That would have been great if I could have been a zombie with Tom. But the whole scene was supposed to be like kind of like a sexual thing. Like he's eating my brains and I'm getting off on it.
I was always wondering. I was always like, she seems to like this.
So you at least you at least got a, I guess, can we say a happy ending?
Yes, a happy ending. Better than a zombie, maybe.
It is funny because then you're never seen from it. I'm like, wait, I want to know what happened to Brenda.
Right. Yeah.
And then I have to ask, because Tom Matthews is on the podcast and he was always such a stud. Is he a good kisser?
He is. He's hot.
Oh, yes. No, he definitely is. But who, and you can be totally honest, who is a better kisser? Tom Matthews from Return to Living Dead or Anthony Michael Hall from Weird Science?
Okay. Well, it's kind of obvious, right?
Tom Matthews.
You go to conventions. Do you ever see Anthony Michael Hall? And who do you see from Return of the Living Dead or Killer Clowns? I mean, you mentioned it earlier that you went to conventions. So, like, do you enjoy going to them? Or
yeah, who do you see the most?
I do. I love going to conventions. Well, I tend to get paired up with Grant a lot. So Grant's a really dear friend of mine. And then sometimes some of the clowns come along or the Kyotos come. So I do a lot of shows, you know, the whole Killer Clown group. I love when I get to go with Tom Matthews, because he's such a dear friend of mine and friends for so long. I don't get to see him as much as I'd like. And then, of course, Judy Aarons and I get paired up a lot for Weird Science, or Judy and Robert and Ilan and I go. I've seen Michael once or twice, and I remember, you know, because Michael and I, it's like this sweet little love story, right, in Weird Science. And I remember the first time we saw each other again after a really long time, I was, you know, at the reception getting something, and I turned around and Michael was right there, and he calls, a lot of people call me Susie, and I turned around and we hugged, and there's a picture of us when we first see each other again, and it's really sweet. So I love Michael.
That's so cool. Aww. And it's great that it's like conventions. Well, as fans, we love seeing stars like you that we love and have grown up with these movies that we love at conventions. But for these celebrities, I feel like it's just a perfect way, like, to keep in touch with these people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I did a show with Marsha Dietland, who was in Return of Living Dead with me. That was really fun. And Dana Ashbrooke and I, we're really close after doing Return of the Living Dead.
So he's cute.
No, that is so cool. So, what are you up to now? Because I read that you teach yoga, or used to teach yoga at a private school. Do I have that correct?
So I do. I did. So recently, my fiance and I moved to Georgia, and we have a house on a lake there, and it's really beautiful. So I'm not teaching as much as I used to. But I used to teach a lot of classes. I used to teach babies yoga, 2 and 3 year olds yoga. I like teaching children yoga. And then I taught at a private school for a while. I taught middle schoolers and high schoolers. I taught at a hospital in the lockdown unit for a while, all sorts of different pregnant people.
Wow. That is great. That's really great. Wait, so does that mean you are currently in Georgia?
I'm in Georgia right now. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, because for some reason I didn't know. I knew you were on a different time zone, but I wasn't quite sure. So, okay. No, that's really wonderful. Well, this has been really, really great. We've had a lot of fun, like, talking with you about all these movies. We have one last question for you, and it's going to kind of put you on the spot, but we ask all the people we interview this. what is one thing that you can tell us about your experience working on either Weird Science, Killer Clowns, or Return the Living Dead that you've never told any other interviewer, publication, podcaster, or convention interviewer? Just one thing about working on any of those movies that you've never told anyone else.
When I was shooting Return of the Living Dead Part 2, I had a horrible crush on Tom.
Ooh.
I mean, didn't we all?
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I knew his girlfriend, so nothing happened, right? But I had a horrible crush on Tommy.
Oh, that's so funny. Who was his girlfriend back then?
Our agent.
Oh, I think that may be the tidbit we were looking for. That's so funny. So is your shared agent was also his girlfriend. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, so, but you know, just.
That is great.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I know. Well, look, again, we are so thankful that you agreed to chat with us. Yes. We've had such a fun time talking about all the movies you've been in. We're such big fans and really.
Too. Mikey just said the most wonderful things about you guys.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
We love Mikey.
Yes. We love Mikey Perez who connected us. And yeah. Oh.
I have one last question. Do you have HBO Max? The streaming service? Your episode of Head of the Class is on.
No way, really? Oh my gosh. That was, I think I did. Did I do two episodes in that? Maybe I did. Oh my gosh. That would
be look fun. Great. Like, it's a great episode.
Wow. Blast from the past. Head of the Class.
Yeah. I watched it this week.
thank you. I'm going to go look at it. I should go look at it.
Yeah.
And we are crossing our fingers that something can happen with a Killer Clown sequel because we would love to see you back as Debbie in the movie. We would love to see you back. And I think, and just seeing what the Kyoto brothers could come up with, you know?
Right? It could be really exciting.
Exactly.
They would just go crazy.
Exactly. Well, thank you again, Suzanne Snyder. We have so had fun talking with you. Thank you again for chatting with us. And we'll keep you posted on when the episode comes out, okay?
Yeah, thank you. So nice to meet you guys.
Yes, so nice to meet you too. Okay, take care.
Bye.
Okay, bye. Bye-bye. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Happy Horror Time.
This podcast is hosted by Matt Emmer and myself, Tim Murdoch. It's co-produced and edited by Jacob Randall.
We release episodes every Sunday, switching off between reviewing recently released horror films and interviewing horror stars and insiders. And we have a ton of fun along the way.
You can stream all our episodes directly from our website, happyhorrortime.com, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And make sure to follow all our social media pages on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Happy Horror Time.
If you'd like to support this podcast, please sign up to be a patron at patreon.com/happyhorrortime. Patrons get access to our growing library of bonus episodes where we discuss older horror films, look back at popular franchises, and all kinds of fun horror stuff.
And if you'd like to contact us, send us an email at happyhorrortime@gmail.com. We love hearing from our listeners.
I'm Matt Emmert.
And I'm Tim Murdoch.
And we hope you have a happy horror time.